This is Blessed Trails with Belinda Gale on Equestrian Legacy Radio. Heard around the world online at equestrianlegacy.net.
I am so glad our trails have crossed. Oh, the joy you bring to me. And as I look upon each face, such kindness there I see. I wish for you the love of God, a love that never fails. And as we travel life's long path, I wish you blessed trails. Trails now go their separate ways, and life goes rolling on. I hope our trails will cross again before God takes us home. We share the wondrous love of God, a love that never fails. And as we travel long path, I wish you blessed trails. Yes, as we travel life's long path, I wish you blessed trails. Blessed trails.
Welcome to Blessed Trails. I'm your host, Belinda Gale, and our show features interviews with wonderful guests, as well as gospel, inspirational, and patriotic music with a definite Western flair. I'm blessed to once again have one of my very favorite people on our show. I've watched her career blossom, and now I get to watch her soar. I could not be more proud of her. Before we bring her on, let's listen to one of my favorite songs that she does, Endless Skies. could listen to her all day. Oh, my gosh. In an extraordinarily short time, this young woman has taken Western music and Western swing music by storm. At the tender age of 20, she has a string of awards to her credit, not the least being the youngest woman ever to be awarded Female Performer of the Year by the Western Music Association. She is an incredibly talented young lady, but one of the most endearing things about her is her sweet and humble spirit. I know she hates it when I say this, but since she considers me Aunt B, I think I can say whatever I want. But I truly believe she still does not understand how truly gifted she is. And it is my great honor and distinct pleasure to welcome to the show Kristen Harris. Hey, Sweet Pea, how are you?
Hey, B. Thank you.
It is so fun to finally get you on the show. You are so busy. We've been trying for months to coordinate this schedule and get you on here.
I know. I am so glad to finally be on the show.
Oh, and it won't be your last time. Yeah, absolutely.
Good.
We will definitely have you on again, but we're going to have fun today. Just some of our listeners probably know who you are, and others don't have a clue who you are. So we're gonna find out more about you all together, and we're just going to have a really fun time. And so, I mean, you're not that old. You're only 20, but I really would like to talk about your early childhood. You had kind of a cool upbringing and things that went on in your life and how the Lord worked in all of that. So why don't you tell us where you live and kind of about your early childhood?
Okay, well, I grew up, ever since I was six, on about 20 acres, and got to milk cows every day and goats, and I got my first horse when I was 11, but I was pretty immersed in all that, and so I loved that childhood. I was homeschooled, and really glad I got to have that kind of childhood. I didn't know the Lord back then. My parents didn't take me to church or anything, but he was working in my life back then too, and I knew he was there. I just didn't know him yet, and so I guess it wasn't until I was about 14, I got my first horse at 11, and that just really struck a passion in me, and horses were everything to me, and kind of I fell in love with Western lifestyle, cowboy tradition, because all the values that comes with that, and just the lifestyle, I love wide open spaces and everything. So all that was kind of ended up with me falling in love with cowboy music. And I started playing guitar when I was 14. Mm. And it started with guitar. I watched old Western movies, Gene Autry and Roy Rogers, and I liked that music, and so I started playing, and then watched Devin Dawson play, and just got, that was a call from God, without a doubt. I just kind of just said to me, that's what you need to do, and I just knew it without a doubt, and so I really worked at it, and it's been amazing. Where did you take me with that?
Isn't it? Now, the first time you saw Devin playing was at the Cowtown Opry, right? You and your mom went and you saw the Buckaroos playing and saw Devin playing. Yeah.
Right.
And they do that every Sunday on the steps of the Exchange, right? And
that is right. Every Sunday.
So that's every single Sunday. And I think if I remember the story correctly, you had your mom videotape Devin?
She didn't videotape. She may have done that a little bit, but she faithfully took me every single week, and I would stand next to Devin, behind Devin, anywhere I could, as much as possible, and just watch her hands the whole hour she played, and try to do it. I got really good at reading what chords she was doing from behind, even from behind her guitar neck, because I stood behind her a lot, and I would go home and just get it and work at it and work at it, and then, you know, sometimes I would ask her, you know, how do you play that diminished chord, and she would show me things, and there were some other people in the Opry too that were good guitar players, and they showed me some things. So Sun Opry really did a lot for me becoming a musician.
So from the first time you saw them to joining, to actually becoming part of the Buckaroos, how long did it take for you to decide to be part of the Buckaroos?
The first time I went, I was going to be part of it. It was, I had already been playing guitar for a few months, I think, and I could play some real basic chords, and I had a little book of, you know, cowboy songs that showed you the basic chords for those songs, and I could yodel a little bit. And so when I came, I found out about it via someone who saw me sing at an open mic and knew Janet McBride, who's also involved with the Cats on Opry, and she's the yodeling coach, and told me about her. And so when I went, I had a couple songs I could sing, and just I was terrified. I had such bad stage fright. But I loved it so much. The first time I ever went to Buckaroos and saw Devin, it was just, I was hooked. And I got my parents to take me back all the way to Fort Worth every single week.
And how old were you then?
I was 14.
Oh, my gosh.
I turned
15
that year, yeah.
Wow. So now it was right around then when, and just to get into, I think, a really pivotal part of your life, not maybe the best part of your life, but that's when your mother left your family.
Yeah.
Isn't it right around then?
Actually, that happened actually a couple of years later, but I was heavily involved with Cowtown Opry for a couple of years, and I was developing as a musician and, you know, getting more comfortable on stage during that time. And my parents were real supportive of it. And then when I was 16, maybe almost 17, is kind of when everything exploded in my family. And my parents got divorced, and it was a mess. My dad left first and then came back, and my mom left and stuff. But that was really, really hard time. I had Devin, you know, God brought her into my life for more than one reason. I think one was that I was so inspired to play the guitar like her. And the other reason was she was the one who really told me who Jesus is. And I was already so admiring of her, and I wanted to spend any time I could around her. And so during, it was that time when I accepted the Lord, and thank goodness I had him when everything happened with my family, because I was still a baby Christian, but I could not have gotten through it without that. And at the same time, Devin, you know, kind of stepped in that place that I really felt a hole for a mother, and she did so much for me, and the Lord, He prepared that. When I look back at it now, it was so devastating, and I just couldn't understand how all that could happen to me. But he had a plan, and it was amazing, because My parents didn't show me how to be a Christian, and Devin did, and so.
Yes. Well, she's an amazing woman of faith, and I know that for her, we're dear friends, as you know, and for her, raising two boys and always yearning for a daughter, I mean, she filled a hole in your life, but you also filled a hole in her life, and she just considers you a daughter now, and it's so precious, the relationship between the two of you, and you're right, she's just a rock, just such a woman of faith, and I can't even imagine a better example than her to lead you to the Lord and show you how to walk that path. Just the Lord knows what he's doing, doesn't he?
I know, exactly. So that's what I was thinking. He knows best. And she and I, our personalities are so different, but I just love her to death.
Yes. Oh, gosh. But that's good, too, because, you know, that's complementary. I love how the Lord brings people together of very different mm-hmm. personalities. And if you just honor and love those differences and honor them in each other and respect them in each other, it has a way of creating a bond that's stronger than if you were both exactly the same. Gosh.
Yeah.
So when did you – we're going to switch gears here just a little bit. When was your first paying gig?
Well, let's see. My first – paying gig was, I believe it was the Durango Cowboy Festival. That's the one that's the most memorable. I remember very clearly my first solo gig because I'd been just performing with the Cowtown Opry where, you know, all I had to do was stand up there and sing. I didn't have to talk. I didn't have to introduce anything and gotten comfortable with that. But, then I've had my first solo gig where I performed a 30-minute set, but I don't think I got paid for it. It was that same year. And then it might have been Lubbock or it might have been Durango, or I may have had a smaller gig that I got paid for, too, sometime before that. I can't quite remember. But I was hooked.
I remember the first paying gig I had for singing, and I was pinching myself. I was like, I can't believe people are paying me to do this.
Oh, wait a minute. I do remember my first paying gig. I got a $50 check, and it was for playing in a grand opening, I think, of a cowboy church, actually.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's a good feeling.
Mm-hmm. It was. I hung on to that check and just kept looking at it.
I bet. Like, I can't believe this. Oh, you've blossomed into quite a little songwriter as well, and we're going to talk more about that later. But we're going to do a song now that you wrote. It's A Horse Has Got to Do that I think is just the cutest thing. You want to set this song a little bit up for us?
Okay, well, this was written about my mare, Velvet, who is another huge blessing in my life, and she has quite the personality, and so she inspires a lot of things for me. Definitely this song is just all about her and what horses like to do when they're just being horses.
So let's listen to A Horse Has Gotta Do.
A horse has gotta do what a horse has gotta do. Dignified and graceful, but kind of goofy too. 1,000 pounds of might, but you hot-tail at the sight of a crumpled. So, but you never really know what a horse so, but you never really know what a horse has gotta do.
I can say that's Velvet. That is definitely Velvet. Well, you said your love of horses, as like many young girls, started very young and got your first horse when you were 11. And one of the things when you and I first really got to know each other that you were doing that I would love for you to talk a little bit about is you engaged in the Mustang Challenge, where you got a little Mustang colt, and so tell us about that. That was way fun.
Okay, yeah. The Mustang Makeover, it was called the Supreme Extreme Mustang Makeover, and it happens every year in Fort Worth, and it's basically where all these people who sign up to be trainers get a completely wild Mustang and have 100 days to train them, and then exhibit them and compete against each other at the end of the 100 days. And so this was actually my second Mustang. Velvet was my first wild Mustang that I adopted. And she just turned out to be such a great horse. I decided I wanted to get another Mustang. And I didn't do the competition with her, so I did it with the new one. And that was really, really fun. It was through the heat of the Texas summer, those 100 days, and it was an incredible experience. And I didn't, you know, make the top 20, but there was about 80 contestants, and I was in the yearling division, so we just had yearlings. We weren't riding them, but we took them from wild and did a lot of cool stuff with them and taught them all kinds of, you know, ground manners and work, like loading the trailer and picking up their feet. And my little Mustang, I had Velvet, so I named him Corduroy. And
that makes sense.
Yeah. I call him Roy for short. He's the sweetest, sweetest little thing. And I'm riding him now. And just that was a cool experience.
Well, I know when I was there, I was so impressed because you hadn't had him terribly long when we were out at your ranch.
Yeah.
Yes.
I remember that.
And he was already following you around like a puppy. It was the sweetest thing. What a sweet little guy he was. And I was so impressed with how well you did with that. And so you have two horses?
I have two horses. Mm-hmm. They're both Mustangs, Velvet and Corduroy.
Oh, they're so sweet. Well, they can definitely your love for horses definitely shines through your songwriting and through your songs. So that's always fun to listen to. I love it. Oh gosh. Well, I'd like to move along now back to the music side of your career. And I mean, gosh, okay. You're just 20 and you have been on the Shotgun Red show and on Penny Gilly show on RFD TV. And the last time I saw you, when we were together was at the WMA and we won Female Performer of the Year and you were being followed around by a film crew. I mean, just, they were like glued to you. That would have made me so nervous. You were always wired up and you just seemed to like not even, you just took it in stride. So tell us what that was like and what was going on with this documentary that they're doing.
Okay. Well, that it's a documentary they're making on young cowgirls, and I'm one of three cowgirls that are being followed around actually throughout the year. So that wasn't her first time to come film me at an event and have me hooked up all weekend. And I've actually been in a couple other documentaries. One of them aired in Europe last fall, and currently the Austrian film crew came like twice to my house and just got all this footage all at once and came to the Elko Cowboy Poetry Festival and filmed there, and then they were just went back to Austria and got it all edited and done. But fortunately, Christina is the lady who was filming me at the WMA, and she's a great filmmaker, and she and I get along really well, and she loves horses, and we have a lot in common, and so I feel a little more comfortable around her. It's not so nerve-wracking, but that's fun.
And so this documentary that they're doing is going to they're just following around three young women who are cowgirls,
mm-hmm.
and it's going to be what is the title, or what is the thrust of the documentary? What are they trying to show?
Well, gosh, I think there is a working title, and I can't even remember it. But she's just, I guess it's just wanting to show the lives of, but different aspects of what it is to be a cowgirl. So one of the other girls is a roper, and so obviously I kind of have the music side of it and
mm-hmm.
and my horses too, but I'm not sure exactly. I know it's going to turn out very cool. I've seen some of the stuff that she's done and she really does a good job, so I'm excited to see it. I don't know when it will be out. She's kind of followed each of us around at different events interspersed throughout the year. She'll come to certain things and get footage. And so mm-hmm. she's kind of, I think she may be, getting close.
Oh, good. Well, I was sure impressed with her. She was very nice and very, just very discreet with how she was around, you
mm-hmm.
know, like at the award show and everything. And it was so cute because her crew was just having so much fun. I think they actually even joined the WMA. They were having so much fun at the convention.
How wonderful.
And so they were very sweet and they just seemed to really love it and love you like we all do. So that was very, very fun. Well, you'll have to cue me in when you get when the documentary is out, and we'll have to have you back on and find out more about what's going on with that and where it is. And that'll be really, really fun. Well, we're going to go ahead and do another one of your songs. And did you write Guardian Angel?
No, I wish I did. Randy Houston wrote that song, and he's one of my favorite songwriters. And this song just really touched me the first time I heard it.
Oh, well, I tell you what, it seems so much like you and Velvet. So, I mean, even though Velvet is still with you, but I mean, I could just see that. So it's a very precious song. And let's listen to Guardian Angel.
While lovers mine come true. We climbed over mountains, followed the river, nothing we couldn't do. Seems like yesterday we rode the big circle, and I thought it never would end. So it doesn't seem fair that I've gotten stronger.
Now, is that Rich O'Brien playing on that?
You betcha it is. Yeah.
That's our Rich O'Brien. Oh, I know. I was just, it was so fun when I did my latest album, went back to Texas and recorded the album and with Rich and Aram. And it was so fun. You and Devin came over and were very supportive and brought food and ran errands and kept the green room all pulled together, so we always had food. Got to keep everybody fed so nobody gets grumpy, and it was so fun. And it's at that point that I realized that you guys, I did not realize until then that you and Devin and Rich had actually formed a group. And I think the relationship between you and Rich is so sweet. It's definitely like a great uncle and or even a father-daughter kind of thing. He's just... You just can tell he's so proud of you and just loves working with you and just has so much fun. And I would really love you to tell us a little bit about Badger and the Bells. And Badger is Rich O'Brien's nickname, especially when he works with Red Steagall. They call him Badger a lot. So tell us about Badger and the Bells.
Well, that is so much fun. It is really a treat to get to work with Rich and just to, I mean, play music with him. And not to mention, I love him as a person. Like you were saying, he is such a precious person. But we formed Badger and the Bells, just this last year. And I play bass, Devin plays rhythm guitar, and Rich, of course, on lead guitar. And we... You know, it's not a it's a different kind of group than like what Devin's involved with Miss Devin and the Outlaw or me doing solo stuff, and so it it's really cool. We've mostly just done local gigs so far. We all stay pretty busy, but it's really, really fun. And we were able to make an album this last year, and it's just the three of us on it, so not anything fancy, but it was really fun.
So is it more like three-part harmony, a lot of three-part harmony going throughout
mm-hmm.
the album, as opposed to having a soloist so much?
Right, yeah. We have some three-part harmony, which is those are my favorites. And then we alternate on some songs, and also there's one song on there that we all three wrote together. That's really fun. So.
Wow. So when did you learn to play bass?
Well, I just picked it up, I guess, a couple years ago. You know, from knowing what I know about guitar, and mm-hmm. I guess it was Devin who urged me. Well, I haven't gone to Captain Opry in a while because I've been so busy, but I was at it one time, and they have a bass there, and I was kind of curious about it, and so I just started plunking on it a little bit and got to where I could play it well enough at shows, and so Devin would hire me to be her bass player at some of their shows, and I really enjoyed it. and Rich seems to like my bass playing enough, so if he's pleased with it, I guess I'm
well,
okay
I guess
with it.
So. I guess, I mean, Rich being one, how many Wrangler Awards and how many Instrumentalist of the Year, so yeah, definitely his bar is pretty high. And when we're talking about a bass, we're not talking about a guitar bass. We're talking about an upright, big bass.
Yes.
So
yes. That's
so,
the most fun.
So fun. It is. It's so fun to watch you play that. Well, gosh, I'm so proud. I was, like I said earlier, of what you've accomplished in just, you know, a really, really short time. You're the reigning Academy of Western Artists and Western Music Association Female Performer of the Year, which is a huge accomplishment and so deserving. And just so proud of you for that. And how does that feel at your age?
Well, it's a huge honor. And honestly, I mean, I was up against people like you who I've, you know, looked up to and admired for, you know, ever since I started doing this. And so I'm really, really honored.
Well, I tell you what, speaking from my perspective, we just really love and cherish our Western and our Western swing music. And so to see people like you and Mickey Daniel and little Leah Sawyer coming up and
mm-hmm.
these young people that are so good and embracing this is just, it warms our heart. I think I was more excited when you won than when I won.
So it was
so much fun and so exciting to see you win that. It was really, I just wish I could have been there to see the AWA award, but I was on the road someplace else. So now at the age of, isn't that how our life goes?
Yes, it is.
So you were homeschooled, but now you're in college and you're trying to do college courses while you're doing all the rest of this. Are you not?
I took last semester off, but because I just had a really crazy schedule. But for the most part, I've been doing online college courses at the same time as music and everything, just so that I could still travel. And that is tough. But
yeah,
and school is not my favorite thing, but I work hard at it, and so I just kind of want to get some sort of degree out of the way.
Yes. So what are you majoring? What are you majoring in?
Well, I haven't decided on that exactly, but I don't know. Probably a business degree. But maybe possibly something in agriculture or with, you know, horses. I'm not sure yet.
Well, that brings up a subject because you, interestingly, you didn't say music. So where do you see your music career going, and where do you see yourself, you know, 5 years down the road, 10 years down the road? What is Kristen going to be doing?
Well, I will still be playing music. I have no doubt. I love it so much. And I hope, you know, I can keep playing gigs and doing what I'm doing now. I don't really know what, you know, my career, I guess, is going to be, but I hope it has to do with music. I don't really desire a music college degree necessarily. Mm-hmm. That doesn't really, I don't think, fit in with the kind of music I do very much. I mean, I'm sure I could get a lot out of it and become a better musician, but for me, if something is drilled into me so much, it almost gets to where I don't like it. And so I think, you know, if I was to be able to make a career of music at all, something like a business degree would be better, because that's like running your own business.
Exactly. Yeah. It would be very good. Well, one of the things that I've always been impressed with you, one of the many things from the beginning, was how generous you are with your time, with working with the young people and teaching them and mentoring them, and, you know, the younger ones at the Cowtown Opry. So can you tell us a little bit about that and how, what that means to you?
Yeah, I've enjoyed that. It's really cool, because I remember when I was in their place, and I think that maybe helps me teach things better too, to remember exactly when and how my brain clicked with certain things. And Cowtown Opry is a great place for fostering all of that. There's so many new young people always joining and that like Western music and are getting into it and want to learn. And so I've enjoyed that. I'm actually getting to do a concert this weekend with some Cowtown Opry. They're called Buckaroos, the kids. And one mm-hmm. of them is a 9-year-old fiddler, and he is just incredible. And he's 9 years old. And then three others that will be singing with the show. And so I'm excited with that. I had a rehearsal this afternoon with all of them, and was teaching one of them to play the bass, and we were working on harmony parts and stuff. It was really fun.
Oh, well, I can totally visualize and picture that, because it makes me think of, for the awards show for the Western Music Association last November, we featured the youth on one of the pieces, and I was just astounded. And I truly think that y'all stole the show. I just stole it, because everybody was just astounded at the talent and the professionalism of all these kids. And you and Mickey Daniel both helped tremendously to help put that together and work with those kids. And I so admire that, I can see you doing that as you get older. But, of course, you know, your life's yours, but you're just so good with the kids. I would love to see you do something with them as well, because you're really, really good at that.
Well,
really.
I love it that there are other kids interested in this kind of music, because I love it. And, I want to keep going.
Yes, me too. Well, we actually have one of the songs you sent me is actually one of your Badger and the Bell songs that we're going to listen to right now. And it's How Long Has It Been? So let's listen to Rich and Devin and Miss Kristen.
Talk with the Lord and told
y'all sound wonderful together.
I love playing and singing with them.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, so I have to ask, is there a gospel CD with Badger and the Bells in the offing?
Oh, I hope. No, there's not a gospel CD yet, but I hope we will do that. I mean, that's a cut from the one CD we have, and it's just kind of a mixture of Western swing and everything, but gospel CD would be awesome.
Oh, I would love to hear you guys do something like that. Just all of you just have such a heart for the Lord. And before we let you go, I really would like to hear from you. I mean, you've really just found the Lord and discovered the Lord. I mean, all of us know God exists from the time we're young, but to really understand a relationship with Him. And I know that Devin has really been mentoring you in that area and teaching you. And I would really love for you to share just a couple minutes about what that has meant to you in your career and how has that impacted your life as far as you're walking through this career that you now have.
Oh, every bit of it. And my walk with the Lord is just I know that you know that traveling a lot and being a performer, even though we're just in Western music and it's not that big time, you know, it can be a strain, and travel is exhausting and everything. And, you know, the Lord helps me through everything. And I feel like he has directed my path through all of this. Because I have no idea how I ended up doing this. If you'd asked me, 6, 7 years ago, I would have never guessed. I was always really, really shy kid. And, but I've known the whole time the Lord, He just keeps pushing me out of my comfort zone and making me better because of it. And but I definitely have to lean on Him a lot, and it just strengthens my relationship with Him. But yeah, I don't know how people do anything, but that kind of lifestyle with traveling a lot and performing and everything without God. So it's meant everything to me.
That's one. I totally relate to that. I wouldn't want to, because there's I often feel like you, that sometimes the only thing that makes it seem sane and the only thing that helps you keep it all together when it gets crazy is your walk with the Lord and knowing that He's guiding your steps. And when they don't make any sense, then that's when you just trust, and somehow you get on the other side of it and it all makes sense. You know, it all comes together and you're like, that's what He was doing. Okay, I get it now. But in the moment, you sure makes you wonder. You know, I have this long list of stuff I'm going to talk to the Lord about, and about half of it gets crossed off before I'm getting up there. But
right. Yeah. And the other thing He's done is just bring me, you know, this whole family of people, and the people that have come into my life, and they're Christians, and it's just, and they're amazing friends, and I mean, you're one of them, and that's another amazing part of it.
Well, you're definitely family. The Western music, music world is very, very much family oriented, and we do feel like a big family, but you feel especially family. Yep.
Yes.
So, you too. Devin's your mom, and she feels she and I are like sisters. So that made me Aunty, and I'm that's a happy role for me.
I love it too.
A happy role for me, for sure. Well, thank you so much for being on the show, sweetie, and I know that people are going to want to get in touch with you and find out where to get your music and where you're going to be performing. And so, why don't you tell us the best place for people to get in touch with you?
Well, my website is KristinHarris.com, KristinHarris, and that you can kind of find everything there. I also have a Facebook page, and just by typing in my name, and you can get my CDs from my website or download the music, any of that. So
that's cool. And your Facebook page is fun, so I would encourage people to friend you on Facebook, because you, I mean, you kids have such a better handle on all this technology than we old people. I mean, it just feels like a chore to me. I mean, I love it, but it's just like I get confused and how do you do this? And you guys are just whipping stuff out all the time. I tell you what, I just want to slap you sometimes. It's like, this is unfair. It shouldn't be so hard. And it looks so easy when they do it. But when I try to do it, it's really hard. So I just, it's fun. You post cool stuff on there, great pictures of you in Velvet. You have some really fun stuff on there of you in Velvet. And just, yeah. Just really enjoy your Facebook page and just enjoy you and just appreciate you so much. And just thank you for being on the show. And you give your sweet daddy a big hug for all of us.
And I will do that.
He's doing a good job. And he's just bust a button proud of you. And I love it when he's able to show up at the gigs and he doesn't quit grinning. He just does not stop grinning when he's at these shows. It's so precious. So thank you so much, sweet. And we're gonna play. Actually, I think this is we're gonna close this segment with you. Isn't this the song that Rory wrote? Rory Feek, The Horse Nobody Could Ride.
Yes.
Yes. Joey and Rory, you do a beautiful, it's one of my favorite songs that he's done, and just a fabulous song,
Thank you.
You do a beautiful job on it, and so you want to set this up just a little bit before we go to it, The Horse Nobody Could Ride?
Well, like you say, it's one of my favorite. I love Joey and Rory to begin with, and this one, I latched onto it. It's about a Mustang, so I just really relate to it. It's a beautiful song.
It is, and you do a wonderful job on it. So thanks again for being with us, sweetie, and we're going to close
you.
Our segment with A Horse Nobody Could Ride. Oh, I love the imagery in that song, and Kristen just does a wonderful job with it. And though she is still so very young, her life to me is just a continuing lesson and an inspiration. And it brings to mind Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for the good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. And the Bible tells us that God has a higher purpose in mind for each and every one of us. And life threw Kristen a nasty curve at a very young and impressionable age. But instead of becoming bitter and resentful, she dug in. She sought the Lord. She chose the high ground and walked in the light that he provided for her. And through the doors that he opened for her, doors that she said she didn't even know existed, much less that she would have the opportunity to walk through. So our precious Lord took something that could have destroyed her and destroyed her full potential, and he worked it together to motivate and bless her in ways she had never even imagined. So if you are struggling with something that looks and feels insurmountable to you right now, I would encourage you to seek our Lord. Be patient, dig into his word, trust, and keep moving forward and towards him as he leads. I'm confident that if you do that, the Lord will work all things together in your life for your good as well. So that's our show for this week, and I want to thank you once again to our very special guest, Ms. Kristen Harris, and of course our fabulous producer, Gary Holt. He always does just a wonderful job. And please remember that all of the fine shows on Equestrian Legacy Radio are archived so that you can listen to them at your convenience. And please don't forget our nifty new app that allows you to access our shows on the go on any of your mobile devices. And most of all, thank you for joining us today. And until next week, bless the trails.
Blinded by the weight of life, I wonder, does he hear? I feel so far from his precious peace, but choose to believe he is there. For what is faith but trusting God when we cannot see or feel? That's when faith is purified, perfect as gold, strong as steel.
Of the Lord.